Tantor Audio, a division of Recorded Books, presents Betting on Love by Jennifer Hoops. Narrated by John Waters. Chapter 1. Samuel Ellis settled into the rocking chair and stared out into the inky black woods. With summer more than a month away, the evenings still held a coolness to them. He set his tumbler of whiskey down and closed his eyes. 12 months of running a company he was never supposed to run weighed on his limbs and his heart. Even with the help of his 3 brothers and baby sister, things seemed impossible to conquer. His assistant, jumping ship 6 weeks ago, meant he was taking on water faster than he could bail.
"Hey, we're headed to monsoons. You want to come?"
Sam glanced back to see his youngest brother, Caleb, leaning out the patio doors, his sister, Becky, and brother Lucas visible behind him.
"No, need to go over the notes for the interviews on Monday. Maybe another time."
He glanced back at the woods, only to turn around.
"Hey, do you have the projections for the latest movie intakes? I need to make sure the bottom lines are matching."
Caleb huffed and shut the door, crossing over to him.
"It's Friday night. The workday is done. Take a break. The company will not fail in one day or even one night. Hell, probably even a month. 12 months of nonstop gives a guy a Friday night. You've more than earned it."
He crossed his arms, his broad chest heaving on a breath.
"And leave the horses and stud out of your crazy. Lucas and I have it well in hand, as always. The bottom lines are fine, and look," he waved back at their other siblings, "we are capable of letting loose and working. It's not an either-or, my brother."
Sam bit back the harsh words on the tip of his tongue. Caleb meant well. He was worried, the evidence written on his face. The stress made him want to lash out, but the regret would follow in its wake. They needed to be close, not bickering. And he was right about the stud. Lucas and he ran the place with perfect precision. Why couldn't he feel as confident as his brothers?
"That one is flighty."
He waved the memory of his father's words away.
"I will take a break. Soon, I promise. Once I have this new assistant marketer hired, things should lighten a bit. And Eli's helping too. I think we're finally getting a handle on everything."
Caleb snorted.
"I wouldn't count too much on Eli with him wrapped up in Tabby's arms and the twins 6 months old. I imagine he will be more distracted than not. But distracted is better than nothing."
Caleb placed a hand on his shoulder.
"You've had a handle on things for months."
Sam took another deep breath and forced a smile to his face.
"Go. Have fun and keep an eye on Becky. Liam Wallace has been sniffing around."
Caleb narrowed his eyes.
"Sniffing how?"
2 flower arrangements and an assortment of goodies from Sugar Grins."
Caleb glanced back to their baby sister, who was applying lipstick using the French doors as a mirror.
"How did I miss this development?"
Sam laughed.
"Probably because you see more of a horse's ass than a human these days."
"Maybe I should introduce Liam to the manure pile," Caleb suggested.
Sam stood and clapped his brother on the back.
"Let Becky handle it. Be the big brother backup in case she needs it."
They walked back to the lodge, their family home. He waved them off and headed to his office, where a stack of resumes and notes sat in the center of his desk. 10 interviews on Monday, culled from more than 300 applicants. His family business was respected. The job was well sought after. But he didn't need just anyone. He needed someone who was efficient, intuitive, and well-versed in all aspects of the company. Someone who would uphold the values and foundation Ellis Industries was built on. Someone who wasn't afraid of long hours. Most of all, Sam needed someone he could trust. He opened the quarterly statement for the Cape Stars Amusement Park. The new coaster would launch in less than a month, and he needed to be on site to ensure everything was proceeding smoothly, efficiently, and most of all, safely. Ellis Amusement Industries had a stellar safety record, and he would be damned if they lost it under his watch. The numbers ran together, and nothing made sense. Contractor grids blended with marketing budgets until one large black circle centered on the screen. How much sleep had he gotten last night? 3, maybe 4 hours? Pretty much par for the course. Snapping the laptop shut, he rubbed his eyes. While his sight might be a little impaired, his brain ran 50 miles an hour. He needed to wind down, or at least his brain did. Maybe he should join his brothers and sister at Monsoons, prove to them he could play and work. Then, maybe they would stop staring at him with concerned looks on their faces. Ignoring the memory of his father's words, Sam ordered a ride, not trusting himself with the fatigue and mountain roads, and ran upstairs to change. Whitney Carroll stepped through the door to Monsoons. A quick glance showed that nothing much had changed since her last visit 5 years ago. Nothing fancy or slick or over-exaggerated. Wide planked floors, dusty and sticky, wood walls covered in rope, saddles, and mason jar lamps. A string of white Christmas lights ran around all four corners, and little round tables were sprinkled liberally throughout the low-level bar. A live band strummed out a current hit. Another sweep of the current occupants, and she didn't notice anyone who looked familiar enough to warrant a hello. 5 years meant the locals were on a rotation. Her generation more likely home with families and kids than out at the bar on a Friday night. She'd been on the path to a family before her husband had gone and spread his seat around. Walking up to the bar, she ordered a whiskey and plopped onto an empty stool. The female bartender slid a tumbler on top of a napkin her way. Whitney wrapped both hands around it and inhaled. It had been a long week of humbleness, and tonight she would forget about starting over and her lack of a job, or a home, or really anything a 29-year-old woman might have by now. She sipped the golden nectar, and her eyebrows practically flew to the ceiling.
"Excuse me, what brand is this?"
The lady shook her head.
"You're not local, are you?"
Another quick glance at Whitney, and she nodded to herself.
"Nope, you're not. At least not a current one. That's a Brody Select. We get test batches before they're shipped out. Made just up the mountain from here."
She knew of the Brody Distillery and the mark they'd been making on the whiskey world, but her pockets leaned toward less pricey spirits. Whitney took another sip and sighed in appreciation of local support.
"Thanks."
Turning around, she absorbed the room. When she left the mountains 5 years ago, she traded a small mountain town for a small coastal one. But most small towns operated the same, especially if they relied heavily on tourist dollars, as Gatlinburg did. Her prior home, though, had remained small and quaint. Had being the operative word. Another sip in the Brody whiskey washed away the pain of loss, both physical and material. Memories of her failed marriage slid in and out of focus, replaced by an even heavier loss, recalling the death of her father. 2 years later, and it still punched her gut. Sucking in a breath that filled only half her chest, she refocused on the now. She was with family again, although extended, and she would get back on her feet. Starting with a job, then a place, the fire of the whiskey burned away, and a slight mellowness glided in. She'd never been a huge drinker. She'd witnessed enough outbursts and faux pas with her family to make sure she never stumbled through a doorway in her adult life. But a drink here and there always allayed whatever concern had driven her to the bar in the first place. Tonight she needed a break from her current reality, and she had promised her cousin she would meet him here. The door opened, bringing with it a crush of people. The entire bar froze for the barest of a second. Then people engulfed the trio who'd come in, handing them drinks. Whitney stretched to her right to see who'd caused such an uproar, and when the dark hair and charismatic smiles came into focus, she swore and shrunk back in her seat. She may have been gone for the better part of a decade, but everyone here, hell, even across the country, knew the Ellises. Plus, her extended family and theirs had sort of been at odds for almost a half a century. The specific details were sketchy, but it boiled down to a land deal gone bad and Ruth Tate choosing Sean Ellis over Charlie Winston. Lord, could it get any more cliché than that? Silly, really. After all, the Tate-Ellis union had been a beautiful love story, as far as she could tell. Still, it was probably better not to interact. She had a fine suspicion of a family that claimed to do so much good. They practically wore their halos everywhere they went. No one was really that nice of a person, especially when they carried that much money in their bank account. She wasn't shocked the Ellises were in a local hangout, even if she imagined they were used to hanging at much swankier places. But it was disconcerting that they were being treated like gods and goddesses. Whitney watched the group making its way toward the dance floor on a collision course with some wall of muscle. He looked vaguely familiar, possibly a former classmate. The lone female Ellis broke to the front and stopped him. The noise in the bar lowered. Not a complete silence, but definitely hushed tones, as no local worth their salt was going to miss whatever gossip was about to be thrown down.
Gossip.
Lord, she hated it. If it hadn't been for gossip, she might still be married. Her fingers tightened around the tumbler.
No, that was stupid.
She wouldn't have wanted to be married to a man who thought sleeping with half the college population was acceptable, but some days, when the pain and hurt swelled to tsunami proportions, she did wonder if she would have been better off oblivious. She finished her whiskey and spun around, watching the staring match.
"Did you get my flowers?" Muscleman said.
"Yes, and thank you, Liam, but as I said, I'm not really looking to see anyone right now. We're all still grieving, and I want some family time."
The sister turned to go, but Muscleman Liam stopped her. Fiery eyes turned back and stared at the beefy hands on her wrist, and Whitney itched to move toward the young woman and lend support, should she need it. They might not know each other from Adam, but women supported women. A quick glance around showed about 5 other women looking to jump in as well.
"Get your hands off me."
Goosebumps erupted along Whitney's neck, and another glance at the sister she thought was named Rebecca slayed any doubts that this slim young thing couldn't handle herself. Just then the people behind her parted and 2 Ellis brothers came up behind their sister. Whitney smiled. Surely the halos would come off and the little devil horns would appear. Barroom brawls were nothing new around here, and maybe the Ellis' squeaky clean image was covered up by locals who wanted their presence and money. After all, she knew firsthand that squeaky clean guys were basically cheating liars.
"Problem, sis?"
the shorter and squatter of the 2 asked. Tension flowed through the entire room, all eyes on the tableau. The young girl glanced over her shoulder at her brother and laughed.
"Nope, I was thanking Liam and headed over to find you guys."
She faced the muscle again.
"Wasn't I?"
Liam dropped his fingers, and Whitney swore the entire room let out an audible sigh. She certainly had.
"Caleb, Lucas, nice to see you."
Liam turned and brushed by Whitney. She watched his retreating back and then returned her gaze to the family before her.
"Thank you,"
the young woman said.
"But you don't need to pull that crap here, and not with Liam. He didn't mean anything, just bruised male pride."
She punched her brothers.
"You guys know all about that, don't you?"
Whitney snorted and 3 sets of Ellis eyes turned to her. The sister smiled as both brothers' gazes turned from acknowledgement to appraisal. She returned the favor. After all, when might she ever see some of the famous Ellis's up close and personal? Each sported the thick black hair, green eyes, and broad chests, although one seemed to be appraising her looks, while the other seemed to be appraising her. They were handsome, no doubt. Although looks only told half the story, and not a very important one in her book. Not that either of their looks did anything for her, thank God. Immunity to the charming Ellis's seemed a good superpower to have. She spun back on her stool and examined the nice wood grain pattern on the bar. The noise rose back to normal bar levels, and she ordered another whiskey. Her cousin would be here any minute. Kind of a welcome back sort of celebration. He said there might be a few people for her to make connections with about a job. The door opened and her cousin Micah walked in. He smiled and waved to a few people, then crossed over to her.
"Hey, no table?"
"I wasn't sure how long you would be, so I figured the bar was better."
The band picked up in intensity, and quite a few people hopped up to dance.
"You should get out there,"
Micah said, taking a drink of a beer that magically appeared.
"Nah, not really a dancer anymore."
But 2 of her ex's mistresses had been. Hell, he'd even taken her to one of their performances for a date night. Her fingers tightened on the tumbler again, and she fought the urge to send it flying to the floor. He placed a hand on her arm, no doubt aware of the strained muscles.
"Whitney, it's time to start living again."
He squeezed and smiled.
"Let's go."
"Really, Micah? I'm fine."
Her voice was less than hospitable.
I believe the lady said she was fine. Back off, Winston.
Whitney spun around to find another Alice, this one taller and leaner than the other two, but sporting the coal black hair, his dark brown eyes alert and mesmerizing. He ran a quick glance over her and then refocused on her cousin. Awareness spread throughout her body, overtaking the tenseness from a moment before and leaving nerves ready to pounce. It would seem immunity did not extend to this particular Alice.
Sam, get the hell out of here. No one invited you.
Micah growled.
She said no. Respect it.
Sam crossed his arms. Whitney saw the buttons on Sam's shirt stretch, and despite not being nearly as broad as his brother's, she had no doubt he was perfectly chiseled underneath the cotton.
She's none of your damn business.
Micah straightened to his full height, leaving him a couple inches shorter than Sam.
Do you want to take this outside?
Sam asked. His tone full of boredom, as if attempting to save a damsel, was in his everyday repertoire.
Well, shit, she wasn't a damsel, but now she was going to have to intervene.
Whitney stood, placing herself between the two men, her height the shortest of the three, putting her eye level with the chest she had just been picturing. She cleared her throat.
Mr. Ellis, it's fine. I'm fine. Micah is my cousin. He was trying to get me to loosen up.
Sam looked at her and back to Micah.
Are you sure?
Warmth spread across her face rapidly, something she really would examine later.
Really? But I thank you for looking out for me.
Her cousin snorted, and she kicked his shin with her heel. One more glance and the other Ellis nodded his head and turned, heading toward the table where she could see his siblings avidly watching the little exchange.
You thanked an Ellis? Are you crazy? Never give him an inch. I realize you've been gone, Whitney, but seriously? They haven't changed, and if anything, this generation is worse than their parents.
Whitney let his rant wash over her as she sat back down and sipped her whiskey. She was sure Micah had some valid points, but all she could think about was how Samuel Ellis had stepped in to rescue her. She had never considered herself a damsel in distress, even with all the tragedies she'd faced the past year, but damn, did it feel good to know someone cared. Someone had looked out to a room, saw a stranger with a need, and tried to fulfill it. Sure, it was a fake need, but she couldn't remember the last time someone had looked and seen past the tragedy to Whitney. Samuel Ellis may have just become her favorite Ellis, if one could have a favorite in a rival family. Chapter 2. Sam forced his feet to move toward his siblings and not turn around and look at the blonde woman at the bar. The woman who, for the briefest of moments, had taken his mind off everything. The woman whose face said she wanted to be anywhere but here. He understood that. He connected with that. He sighed and shook his head, the laugh caught in his throat at the absurdity. He decides for one night to come out. Sees a woman whom he thinks is in trouble, and damn if she doesn't turn out to be a Winston. Not that she looked familiar, clearly an extended relation, although she obviously knew who he was. Guess even long-lost relatives were brought up to speed on the kerfuffle.
"Hey, Prince Charming, you get shut down?"
Caleb chided. Sam dropped into the chair beside his sister and snagged Caleb's beer, downing it in one gulp.
"Oh, I see,"
Caleb said, and signaled for more to the passing waitress.
"She's real pretty. You should try again,"
Becky said. "I'm not looking for anyone, and if I had the time and energy to be looking, the last person I would be looking at is a Winston." Two sets of whistles came from his brothers.
"Dude, she's a Winston. That's a damn shame."
Becky snorted.
"You guys are ridiculous with this feud crap. Do any of you really care about someone's last name because of something that happened before we were born? I definitely don't think Mom or Dad did."
Silence came from around the table. Becky brought up a valid question, but apparently no one was answering tonight. Sam shifted in the chair and forced his eyes to remain on the pitted table.
"Do you guys recognize her? She said Micah was her cousin, so maybe not a Winston, but connected just the same."
Caleb, not shy about anything, craned his neck and stared at the woman at the bar. Lucas was much more circumspect.
"Maybe," Lucas said. "If I subtract a bunch of years and add a ponytail."
"Doesn't matter. Just curious, since I did try to rescue her. To no avail."
Sam took another drink.
"Not every woman needs rescuing, Sam,"
Becky offered, popping some fries into her mouth. Not every woman is as confident as you are, Becky, Sam launched back.
True,
she said, blotting her face and getting up to join a line dance forming. Sam rubbed his neck and rolled his shoulders. He was exhausted and hoped a frivolous bar night would let his mind unwind. But numbers and to-do lists were multiplying in his brain like a pair of rabbits in a wildflower field.
Dude, did you just mumble return on investments? Caleb asked.
Sam shot a look at his brother, who returned a very concerned one. He opened his mouth, then snapped it shut. He didn't have to defend his work habits. The company was on his shoulders. Caleb rocked back onto two legs of his chair.
When is the last time you went on a date? He asked.
What does my love life have to do with anything? Or taking a day off, Lucas added in his much more contemplative voice.
Have you two taken days off? Sam snapped. They both nodded, neither showing an ounce of guilt. Lucas leaned forward.
You have to refill the well, brother dear. It's not shirking duties to take care of yourself every now and then.
Heck, even Tabby and Eli have taken time off, and they have twins and businesses to run too, Caleb offered.
Speaking of the twins, Lucas sat back. When is the last time you saw them?
Sam took a swig of beer and slammed it down on the table.
I didn't realize tonight's invitation was so you could point out everything I'm failing at. Trust me, guys, I know I'm not Dad or Isaiah.
That sobered his siblings up really quick. Caleb's chair slammed back on the ground.
What the hell, Sam? No one expects you to be Isaiah or Dad, and no one mentioned you failing at anything, Caleb said. You're kicking ass and jotting down names, but you're also killing yourself, and you're not going to be able to hold on much longer. I'm surprised you've lasted a year at this pace.
I just need to get this marketer hired, and then...
You've been mentioning one more thing for months now,
Caleb shot back. Becky joined them again, slightly flushed and beaming from ear to ear.
You boys are causing a ruckus in here tonight, especially Sam. I had to fend off three interested women claiming they would gladly be rescued by Sam.
She gathered her hair and pulled it into a ponytail.
Makes it hard for a girl to pick up her own man.
Sam narrowed his eyes at his baby sister and had no doubt Caleb and Lucas were doing the same. Becky laughed.
Why can't you take Eli's approach and give me some room? Have I shown that I can't be trusted?
They all sat back and crossed their arms. Sam knew they couldn't say anything because Becky was right. She was handling her own life just fine, and they had to accept it, even if they didn't like it.
Enough about me. Let's get back to Sam.
Becky plopped into her chair.
Let's not, Sam said. We were mentioning to him how he needs a little self-care, Lucas added.
Well, if that is code for a woman, then yep, you need it.
Becky snagged another fry.
Excuse me if I don't take relationship advice from my baby sister.
A sister who's had more relationships than you. And I am 7 years younger.
Look, I appreciate the worry, but if I wanted a woman in my life, I would find a woman.
He didn't want one. Well, that was a lie. He wanted one. He didn't have the time for one, and he'd never been the love 'em and leave 'em type.
But could you get her?
Caleb shot back.
Wow, they were definitely in attack mode this evening.
I think I'm sophisticated enough to pick on whether a woman is interested or not.
The table erupted in laughter, enough to draw attention from the bar. Sam smiled at a few people and shushed his siblings.
I bet you couldn't get one date tonight. Hell, not even a number for a potential date,
Caleb argued. Sam gripped the edge of his chair to keep from punching one of his brothers.
This is bullshit. If I wanted a date, I could get one.
Prove it, Lucas said,
his low, calm voice sailing in among the snorts and giggles erupting from Caleb and Becky. Fine. He was done being the punching bag this evening. He would shut them up one way or another. Three sets of Ellis eyes stared at him.
You accept the bet? Lucas asked.
I didn't hear the bet, Sam countered.
You get a date tonight, or at the very least a number for a potential date, Lucas smiled. I'm feeling kind of charitable.
That smile sent chills running down Sam's back, but he maintained his bored mask and asked, If I win? He would win for no other reason than to shut his siblings up.
No more remarks about your work habits, and we each owe you $100 and a bottle of Brody whiskey.
Deal. They raised their drinks and clinked to seal the bet.
Great, Lucas said. I pick her.
Sam almost dropped his beer. Wait a minute, I never agreed to you picking the woman.
Becky and Caleb leaned around to see who Lucas was pointing at. Both their eyes widened, and then they sat back and burst into shit-eating grins. Sam didn't have to look. He knew who Lucas was suggesting. What he didn't know was why. Lucas was the odd duck brother. The still waters ran deep. He faded into the background and missed nothing, so when he did speak up, it had a purpose and a reason. It made Sam want to bolt out the door of Monsoon's and say, "Screw the bet!" He didn't need the money or the whiskey. Suddenly, Lucas's smile had a whole new meaning. Shit. What did Lucas see that Sam hadn't? Caleb sat up.
You don't think we're going to let you pick the woman? You'll conspire with someone just to win. We know you, big brother.
Sam swallowed his smile. He actually had been contemplating that. Then again.
Fine. Who do you have in mind?
Her. Your unrequited damsel in distress, Lucas said.
Chapter 3 Whitney watched her cousin swan about the bar, charming every woman he could. She appreciated her extended family, and had always gotten along with Micah, but she really hoped these women were a bit smarter than the lines he tossed around.
Hey.
She turned to find Samuel Ellis sliding onto the bar stool next to her. A quick glance showed Micah with his back to her.
What are you doing? She whispered. Trying to start a bar brawl?
Nah, totally here for the conversation.
He signaled for a drink.
With me? Do you even know me?
Sam Ellis. He held out his hand. But I'm guessing you already knew that.
Whitney Carroll.
She shook his hand and ignored the little jump in her nerves. Nerves that already been teased 15 minutes earlier and were willing and ready. Was he the first guy she'd voluntarily touched since the fallout of her marriage? Was that why she was as jittery as the first time she'd gone parking at Hummingbird Field? She released his hand and then sat on both of hers. It was a horrible habit she'd developed as a teenager, but it was either sit on her hands or reach out and touch Sam Ellis again, and that definitely wasn't a good idea. This was clearly some weird trial by fire that her body was playing around with.
I have a proposition for you.
Shit, at least this one was being honest.
Mr. Ellis, I'm not looking for any propositions tonight.
Man, I'm so sorry. That came out wrong and insulting.
He ran a hand down the back of his neck.
I'm really rusty at this.
He ducked his head. I was proposing we have a chat. You know, as two people who really would rather not be here.
What makes you think I don't want to be here?
He smiled, which in turn made her fingers itch even more, and she ground them further into the barstool.
Do you?
No, I don't. I want to be home in my pajamas reading. But we don't often get what we want, do we?
Not even close most of the time.
Sam's eyes widened. I'm sorry, that sounded really ungrateful. Considering.
Considering you're rich and somewhat famous and probably have everything you need?
Yeah.
Trust me, I know what it's like to have everything you think you need and not be happy.
He raised his tumbler and she grabbed hers and they clinked. No words necessary. He was right. They totally recognized a connection.
So, I've confessed where I would rather be. What about you?
For a moment, she didn't think he would answer, but he finally shook his head and said,
"Somewhere with my guitar."
He took another sip.
"But really, anywhere but here."
Although, he stroked his chin and looked in her cousin's direction.
"There is a certain level of fun to the proceedings. I mean, you are forbidden according to feud laws."
"I'm going to pretend you didn't say that."
Whitney finished her drink. He looked appropriately chagrined. Wiping the condensation off her whiskey tumbler, she tried to bring order to all the questions and emotions swirling around her brain.
"What's in it for me?"
Why was she playing along and tempting the feud fates? Not that the feud meant all that much to her, but family was family.
"For you?"
Sam looked confused.
"Yeah. If I'm willing to offer my hide up to the spit in this conversation leading to war, what's my return on investment?
I don't suppose getting to spend some time with me.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?